Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting, one show at a time.
Off the Mark has a great announcement to make. Our show is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
86 Productions.
And welcome to Off the Mark, the wrestling podcast to listen to on the interwebs. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's start the show by discussing the most recent news. The Undertaker will return just in time for WrestleMania. Why?
You know, they're basically going to do a thing where, you know, he wrestles once a year and that's it. You know, and yeah, that'll be it. It'll probably be his last WrestleMania, actually.
So he basically gets paid like $1 million a year to wrestle once. Can I get that job?
I mean, if you're that big of a draw, I mean, I guess, but I don't think he's that big of a draw.
Give me a big piece of paper, I'll be a big draw. Definitely. Okay, that was a bad joke. Anyway, so Sin Cara penis shirts have been removed from the WWE shop. That was your Christmas gift, Aaron. They are gone. I'm pissed. They're gone. I actually ordered you one. That's what ticked me off.
Can I ask you a question, Andy?
Yeah.
When you looked at this, did you think, how did this get past all of the stages of, like, people going, yeah, you know what, that looks fine. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, that should be up on the website.
Okay.
How did that happen?
I don't know, because here's how I found out about it. Colt Cabana, at Colt Cabana, he went ahead and tweeted it out. And I thought it was a joke. I really thought it was a joke. And I think this was on like Thursday. I thought it was a joke. So I went ahead and I was like, all right. And then I saw it on WWEshop.com. That's what it was linked to. I was like, oh my gosh, it really is that. So I went ahead and I'm like, I got to get Aaron this. So I went ahead, typed, paid for it and everything. And then my order was canceled. And they didn't give a really good reason why. But they did offer me another Sin Cara shirt. And of course, the Broski headband that I also purchased for you. But apparently, you're not going to get either one now. Because I just cancel it altogether. So, no Sin Cara penis shirts at all. But you know what?
Aww, you know what the thing is? I just got to throw out there, though. Is that my girlfriend took a look at it. And I said, what is wrong with... I said, you know, what do you think of this shirt? And she said, there's a penis on it. And I said, yeah. Okay, just wanted to make sure it wasn't just me. And most of the internet. But yeah, that's the problem. I mean, it got through stages in order to do that. So I don't know. I'm amazed by it. So Andy, I wanted to ask you, what do you think about the It Begins videos?
Oh, it's simple. It could be Chris Jericho, which it probably is. It could be Brodus Clay, because, you know, he hasn't been on TV yet. I almost think that it's DDP. I think it's DDP. He's making a comeback and... Okay, it's not. I think it actually could be Goldust, too. Or it could be Bill Goldberg. Or it's Jericho.
Yeah. It's probably Jericho.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's Jericho. It's just the way everything's set up. It just seems like it's tailor-made for something Chris Jericho would do.
The only thing I'm wondering about it, though, is that Jericho would come back as a fan favorite. Like, I mean, Jericho, even when he's a heel, is a fan favorite. People cheer for him, and then the announcers have to say, oh, well, they're just, you know, letting you know that they respect the work that he's done, but they're mad at him right now. You know, they would say crap like that, right? Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, Punk would have one of the most amazing matches at WrestleMania if you had it with Jericho. And, I mean, they've wrestled before, but at WrestleMania, it would be amazing, because people aren't going to remember that they wrestled back in 2008. You know, no one's that smart. I'm sorry, but they're not. But they had feud back in 08 for the World Heavyweight Championship. So, I don't know. I mean, I think it's Jericho, but I think if talks fall through, it's probably going to turn into The Undertaker.
Colt Cabana.
It'll turn into Colt Cabana.
Yep. Her name was Lola. Oh, sorry. Anyway, so let's get right into Raw. John Cena just gets no love no matter what they do. Just gets no love. Except for the little kids. Even though he came out on Piper's Pit and said, I granted three wishes today for Make-A-Wish Foundation, which I thought was cool. They cheered that. They cheered the armed forces, and then they booed him.
Mm-hmm.
He gets no love. Even with Piper.
Yeah. And I love the cover art this week, too. The picture, you know, is pretty awesome of Piper. You gotta check it out. If you don't check out the cover art, and he does a great job on it, this week you have to check it out. One of the best.
Oh, I thought it was going to be the Sin Cara's penis incident. So we're not going to do that. We're going to definitely have Rowdy.
No, you know, I mean, this is a pretty safe for work podcast. And I think showing pictures like that is just not a good idea. But Cena, yeah, he's getting no love. I got to say, I'm actually starting to like him a little because of this. Like, it's kind of turning me around a little bit as a fan. Not that I'll never like Cena, but, you know, I don't hate him as much. So, Andy, Morrison, John Morrison, JOMO, he gets owned. He gets destroyed by The Miz, okay? So, tell me, like, where are their paths going? You know, I mean, what is Miz becoming? What's Morrison going to become? Tell me a little bit about that.
Morrison's just a stepping stone for Miz becoming basically the top heel for Raw. I think that's he's basically going to be fighting Del Rio for the top heel. I feel bad for John Morrison, but I think it's time for him to leave for a little bit. I don't see him going to TNA, though. I see him just taking time off and then coming back. Because I think sometimes as a wrestler, you just get to the point where you just need to take the time off. You need to leave for like 6 months. You know, live your life a little bit. Have some fun with your significant other. In his case, Melina. So he needs to have some fun with her and then, you know, get back into wrestling shape, you know, a month prior, then go back on the road. And I think Jen Morris could do that. But maybe he goes to TNA for a couple of months. Maybe not. I mean, what do you think?
You know, that's actually what I think is going to happen. I think that he will go to TNA. And I could see him starting off with a short contract, 6 month contract, right? And then it's like, okay, we're going to do a 6 month, you know, you'll come in, you know, be a part of this. And then if you want to stay, you have that option to stay. If you don't, that's fine. We understand. That's what I would do. And, you know, I mean, I've said before, personally, I've always thought that you should bring in certain wrestlers who are not a staple within the company. AJ Styles should be there 24/7, right?
Right.
But you could bring in a John Morrison. He could do a 9 month thing. You know, he would have like four feuds within those 9 months and then let him go and then, you know, do whatever. And then, you know, maybe contact him later down the road. Be like, hey, do you want to come back and do something else? He gets a huge pop. You can put him into the main event picture. Bada bing, bada boom, you know? So I think that he's going to go to TNA.
Yeah, he'll probably go there. I don't think he'll be there long term. I think he'll just do a short term program, not sign a long contract so he can go back to the WWE. Like I said, because sometimes you just need a break. And this might be a good break. So this, I didn't understand this, but Dolph Ziggler beats Randy Orton. So does this mean that Zack Ryder is greater than Randy Orton?
Why, yes, Andy. Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Because he pretty much went over pretty clean, I thought.
Pretty clean, yeah. That was quite a surprise. Like, okay, you will not allow Christian to beat Randy Orton. You literally go out of your way to not let him, to make Christian look like a wuss. He looked like a pansy when it came to Randy Orton. Randy Orton has put over Cody Rhodes in a match, okay? Cleanly. Put over Cody Rhodes cleanly. He's put over Wade Barrett cleanly. And he's put over Dolph Ziggler cleanly. And I mean, I shouldn't say Randy Orton. I should say the writers, you know, the booker. What is going on with this? Why wouldn't they allow him to pin or allow Christian to get a clean or even semi-clean victory? Orton never got pinned by Christian. Christian won the title because he got kicked in the balls by Orton. He got kicked in the Sin Cara by Orton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't understand that. I mean, there's so many things that this is screwing up. I mean, Christian's basically a nobody. I mean, he was the one on SmackDown, dude. He wasn't even in the Battle Royale. Where's he at?
Oh, he's injured, dude.
Oh, that's right. He did get injured. My bad. He hurt his ankle. But still, it'd be nothing on there. Even if he was on the show, he'd be a nothing. But then you have Ziggler beat Orton, so what's the point? Seriously, what is the dang point?
This match had no purpose, just like all the matches on SmackDown on Tuesday. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But first, CM Punk beat Alberto Del Rio in what was one of the best matches I've seen in a while.
And he did the Eddie Guerrero tribute in there, which I thought was funny.
I like that, too.
Hit the chair, threw it to Del Rio. Del Rio catched it. CM Punk falls down. That was pretty funny.
Yes, it was.
And I did like the fact that, you know, yeah, I just like the fact that the match was good. I thought the match was going to suck. It ended up being pretty good. It was
had a great ending.
Great ending. I mean, and it's nice that, you know, now he doesn't have to face Del Rio anymore. So who's next?
The Miz.
The Miz. That's going to be a fantastic match.
You know what? We talked about it, I want to say, like maybe 5 episodes ago. We talked about the possibility of them, you know, feuding with each other. I think it'll be okay. I think the biggest problem is, though, I don't know. I think that Punk works really well with made stars. I don't think he works as well with people who aren't made. Mm-hmm. Like, he works incredibly well with Cena, with Triple H, you know, with Kevin Nash he would work well with, you know, I think. He would work well with a lot of these really big name people who are already made. But, you know, against Alberto Del Rio, I commented that I didn't think the match was that exciting. I think you felt the same way. And, you know, against The Miz, this to me is more of a mid-card feud. Even though I see CM Punk as a main eventer, I don't know. Miz isn't made.
No, that's the thing. And you need someone, you need to have that major heel. And, you know, they're pushing it with Miz, but he needs to be almost bigger than life. And that's what I think they're doing with Sheamus. I think they're teasing it. They keep teasing it, and eventually he's going to turn heel. I'm saying WrestleMania for that.
Turn back heel is what you're saying.
Yeah, he's going to turn back to heel. Yeah. Boots to butts, you know? Anyway, so let's move on to SmackDown. It was very boring. Fast forward. Hornswoggle can talk. Oh my gosh, Santa granted him a wish. Turns out Santa's awesome. Yep.
So on SmackDown, 2 major things happen. Like I said, there were a lot of know-nothing matches that were very unimportant.
Ooh, the mistletoe. Mistletoe on a pole.
So Booker T and Cody Rhodes, it looked like they were going to have a match, you know? And I don't know. I was thinking, wow, you guys are really just forcing this feud quickly. But they did something, which they did with Jomo and R-Truth, where they teased it and then they took it away from you. This one didn't have as big of an impact as that one did, as mm-hmm. Jomo and R-Truth, but still it was nice. Booker T's ready to go out and wrestle, and Cody Rhodes just beats the crap out of him. So my question is, Andy, do you think this is going to happen at TLC?
TLC, yes, it'll definitely happen. I think it'll be a ladder match. I don't think it'll be a TLC match. It'll actually be just a ladder match. That should be pretty good. Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, how everything pans out, though. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I agree.
I'm looking forward to it. Ooh. Gosh. Anyway, so Mark Henry wins. The end.
He beats Daniel Bryan with the world's strongest slam off the top rope.
The end. Nothing special here. He just won.
Are you okay with him winning?
No.
You really thought that Daniel Bryan should take the World Heavyweight Championship?
Yeah, actually, I thought Daniel Bryan would lose or some way. Go out, get a chair, and start beating the crap out of his ankle. Cash it in. 1, 2, 3.
That's a possibility. Yeah, he could get himself DQ'd and then cash it in. That actually would be really smart to
do. That's what I would do. I mean, if you want to do it on a cool storyline, I'd purposely do that. It would actually be interesting to see if he actually gets the match at WrestleMania without cashing it in at first. And say, no, I'm not cashing this in. Then if he starts to lose, get disqualified by doing that. And then put him up in the turnbuckle. Cash it in, match restarts, and all he has to do is pin the guy, and then 1, 2, 3, he's a champion.
Not a bad idea. Not a bad idea. You know, this is why we should be writers, all right? This is why we should be writers for the WWE. The one thing I really have to point out, and I'm like, I hate with a freaking passion cage matches. Why do they have a door that you can crawl out of, quote unquote, yet no one is ever able to do so? You know, you always have to go over the top. Why have that door there? That door doesn't need to be there. That door is stupid. You should have to crawl over. You should have to go over the top or pin the guy, make him submit, one of the two. You know, one of the three, I should say.
I don't think you should. I think it should be submission or over the cage or over the top. It's just those two. You should not be able to go through the door. You should not be able to pin the guy. It should be submission or over the top. That's it. Both feet touching the floor. That's it. Should be nothing else.
I just hate the idea of the door. I think it's so stupid.
Well, you know, people won by going through the door. A lot of people.
I know. It's stupid. It's Sin Cara t-shirt stupid, all right?
Unbelievable. Anyways, let's move on to our sponsor. The longest running sponsor on Off the Mark, that's HostGator. Are you a blogger, a podcaster, and you're not happy with your web host? Check out HostGator.com, where you'll find web hosting made easy and affordable. They offer unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs, and a free site builder with the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo out to see how easy it is. And if you use the special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you'll save 25% off your hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. The Pope and D-Von are number one contenders for the tag titles. Who are the tag champs? Aaron again, Matt Morgan, and
Crimson.
That's correct. With a C, of course. Yep, so they're number one contenders. Don't get it. Why are they still together?
I feel like TNA had the best. I said this, you know, 40 episodes ago, that TNA had the best tag division in the whole sport of wrestling, like in any organization. They had the best with Beer Money, even Mexican America, with Motor City Machine Guns. And now they have Matt Morgan and Crimson, two roids. Mm-hmm. They have the Pope and D-Von. Mm-hmm. Two African American gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
No need for them to be together.
Nope.
And who's the next one? It's Ink Ink. That's number three right now on the list.
That says a lot about your tag division right now. It's no longer there. Completely gone. They should just bring Kid Cash back and have him and RVD feud with Sandman and Sabu. That would make it interesting. Not really. But anyways, so Robbie Eat beats... What? Rob Van Dam?
Yeah, that actually says that on the sheet. RVD was pinned by Robbie E. Even with interference, it doesn't matter, okay? It does not matter.
I know, that's what I don't understand. Why did they do this? This makes no sense.
If it was anyone else, I mean, Robbie E is the lowest of the low, you know? I mean, he really is low. Have Christopher Daniels pin Rob Van Dam with interference, you know? Why not do that? Get some heat on Christopher Daniels. That way it'll make the feud a little more interesting. Why have Robbie E, a nobody, pin a legend like RVD?
Something has to be going on. He must have ticked someone else off. That's all I can think of. Because why? What does that do for either guy?
I have no idea.
I don't know. And this is one thing I don't get. Austin Aries says that he does not have any real competition for the X title. Now, I don't think this means that Jomo is going to be the next guy. But I wouldn't be surprised if maybe AJ Styles comes back to the X
maybe.
Division. He might. I mean, he could transition over there real fast. It would be perfect, I think. But I don't know if they mean John Morrison. Because he's starting this now. John Morrison has a 90-day no-compete clause. So you're talking, you know, March before he comes back. Do they want to take that much time? You know what I mean? So I don't know if it's John Morrison. If they did it basically in February, I could see it. But I think it's just Austin Aries wants someone to come in like AJ Styles.
You know, and that might not be a bad idea. I think that you really have it on the ball there. I think that John Morrison will come in to TNA and go for the in the X division. I do think, though, that if AJ Styles went down, like, let's say he basically came out and called Austin Aries out and said, you've been running your mouth about, you know, there you have no competition. Well, I made the X division. Come after me, you know, and then, like, get into a feud with him. I actually think that'd be really good. It would help out Austin Aries a lot. And AJ Styles, who is a very intelligent person, he knows that it would help the business out. And I don't feel that Austin Aries beating AJ would be as bad as Robbie E beating RVD.
No.
I don't at all. I really don't, because I think that Austin Aries is 20 prestige points above, you know, above Robbie. He's over by 20 points, you know, at least. So, anyway, but let's move on to the main event of TNA. Robert Roode beat AJ Styles and Jeff Hardy in a non-title match. What did you think of the match? And, I mean, you know, obviously this is trying to build up to the pay-per-view. I mean, is this a good match to build up?
Yeah, but the thing is, now that we know Jeff Hardy has a back injury, it makes sense why AJ Styles was in the match as well. That's how I look at it. You know, because he's hurt. AJ Styles does more of the work. People forget about Jeff Hardy a couple times here and there, and they're like, oh, yeah, this is a triple threat match. So I understand why they did it. And, yeah, I think it's going to do something, especially with the fact that Robert Roode beat AJ and Jeff on free TV in non-title. I think that's a big deal.
And having it be a non-title match, I think, is smart, because while watching it, I'm going, oh, AJ's going to win. AJ's going to win. AJ's going to win. Wow, Robert Roode actually won. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So I like that. I think that this is good to help build up the feud too. You know, having that extra person in there, it does help with the tension a little bit more. So kudos to TNA for doing something really good.
Yes.
Now, Andy, let's move on to our weekly topic, which is about WWE
12
and social media. And the reason I bring this up, what I want to talk about with this, is the fact that Zack Ryder, he basically was able to get on TV. This is somebody who was a nobody. He was a nobody. And through using YouTube and Twitter and Facebook, he was able to make a push and have fans chant, "We want Ryder," you know, to have signs up about Zack Ryder.
Broski of the week.
He was getting chance in matches that he was not in at all. Mm-hmm. You know, when they were in New York, probably about 10 episodes ago or so, we talked about how he wasn't on TV because WWE was afraid he was going to get more pops than John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, I mean, that's a pretty big deal. So, obviously, Zack Ryder was able to make this huge, huge push. But because he did it, now everyone is doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you do see Dolph Ziggler and you see John Morrison on his show, on Zack Ryder's show, but they're interacting with fans now. So I want to know, what do you think about this, you know, kind of this transition into a more open wrestling world?
Here's my thing, and this is why I think this is going to be bad. I've ran into the refs before. Were you with us? You weren't there. Myself and Dave and... Dave, Mr. Payton, we actually ran into some of the refs after a house show. And you could tell they were just normal guys at that time. You were there, right? The house show that we saw the refs?
I didn't see the refs, okay. But I was all at right. The house show, though.
Okay, so we went to Hooters afterwards and talked with some of the refs afterwards. Actually, one of the refs that passed away, ironically. And the one, the Hepner, we talked to him for a little bit. We just sat there and BS with them a little bit. And they're normal then. That's the real person. And yeah, he did the whole thing like, hey, you know, how was that bump that you took with Big Show because he got chokeslammed? He's like, oh, man, I've never been slammed that hard before in my life, man. My back is still hurting everything. While drinking a beer, smoking a cigarette, of course, he's saying this. So, of course, you know, he wasn't going to break character. But then... let's say you meet Zack Ryder. He's been doing his show. He has to be Zack Ryder, the wrestler, the character, whenever he's out in public now. See, with the refs, you don't really notice who they are. Most fans don't know who those guys are. And we notice three refs and one of the production people, because we've seen him on TV. He's actually the ring bell guy. So we knew who they were because we're, well, huge fans. If they were doing the same thing like Zack Ryder and John Cena, Dolph Ziggler are doing, they have to be in character 24/7. Anytime they're in public, they have to be in a character. I think this will end up hurting, because when you meet those guys, they're just normal guys. That's why I think this is a bad idea to a certain extent. But I also think it's a good idea for the smarks out there. So that's how I feel about it.
Interesting. I can definitely agree with a lot that you said. My question to you, though, is when you think about it, you are now blurring the lines between what is a show and reality. So, for example, I don't know, what's a good show on TV right now? Because there's not a whole lot. Let's say a show like Dexter.
Okay? Michael C. Hall.
So let's say there's a Twitter account for Dexter. Mm-hmm. Literally, for the character of Dexter. And so Michael C. Hall now is tweeting out, going out for the night. gonna ride my boat pretty late tonight. Yeah. You know, he talks about how he's going to be doing things that his character does. Okay? Mm-hmm. And so you do something like that, and yeah, maybe the fans will think it's kind of fun and interesting, but we know that that's a character. So, I mean, they're kind of blurring the lines, though, between Zack Ryder, the character, and then, you know, the actual person who plays the character Zack Ryder. I use Zack Ryder because obviously he's the most famous one for using this stuff. But any of them, you know, John Morrison, Chris Jericho, the Cena, The Rock, any of those people.
Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of blurring the lines. What do you think of that?
You can blur the lines for only so long, though. Eventually, you have to. I don't know, dude. I think there's a time and a place for this, and unless everyone's doing it, I mean, you can't have like half the roster do it and the other half don't. They all have to do it at the same time. And also, how many of those tweets are actually by the wrestler, opposed to like someone on the WWE staff? Because I'm assuming they have to give them their passwords. I'm assuming that. So I don't know, dude.
I like this idea because, you know, you could directly message, you know, Cena and say, Cena, I don't care for you as a wrestler, but I think you're a great human being. And he may message you back saying, you know what, Boober 86, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes, A Hughes 86. I think that's great.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking you're thinking something else. Yeah. He could say, hey, Hughes 86, thank you very much for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really cool that you could get a message from him immediately. You know, and you have this like instant gratification. You could have that you wouldn't get elsewhere. So now he's connected to, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, you know, any of these wrestlers are. So I like the idea. The thing I don't like, though, is I don't like how they have to stay in character no matter what. Because I think that does kind of suck a little bit for them, because they can't have a real life outside of wrestling then. But yeah. I guess that's what you sign up for, right?
Yep. 24/7, you are that character. Anyway, so I guess that's the best way to get over right now, is just use Twitter or kiss Zack Ryder's butt. That's the only way to get over. So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.